Homeostasis Podcast, aka Level Biology. Hello, and welcome to this A-Level Biology Revision Podcast on homeostasis. I'm here to guide you through one of the most important topics in your specification. And trust me, once you understand the core principles, those exam questions become so much easier to tackle. Homeostasis is all about balance and control. It's how your body maintains a stable internal environment despite constant changes happening around you and inside you. Think about it, whether you're sitting in a cold exam hall or running for the bus on a hot day, your body temperature stays remarkably constant at around 37 degrees Celsius. That's homeostasis in action. For AQA, A-level biology, you need to know two major homeostatic systems in detail: blood glucose regulation and osmoregulation through the kidneys. These topics appear regularly in exam papers, and they're worth understanding deeply because they demonstrate the fundamental principle of negative feedback, which is absolutely central to how biological systems maintain stability. Today, we'll break down these concepts step by step, explore exactly what examiners are looking for, and make sure you avoid the common mistakes that cost students marks. Let's dive in. Core concepts. 5 minutes. Let's start with the foundation. Negative feedback. This is the control mechanism that underpins all homeostatic systems. Here's how it works. First, there's a normal level, or set point. Think of it as your body's target value. When a stimulus causes a deviation from this norm, maybe blood glucose rises after eating, receptors detect this change. This triggers a corrective mechanism that counteracts the deviation, bringing the system back to its original level. That's the key phrase examiners want to see. Restores the system to its original level. That's worth a mark right there. Now, blood glucose regulation. This is a classic exam favorite, and you need to know it inside out. Let's break it down into two pathways. When blood glucose is too high, say after you've eaten a meal, beta cells in the pancreas detect this rise. They respond by secreting the hormone insulin. Now, here's where you need precision. Insulin doesn't just magically lower blood glucose. It binds to specific complementary receptors on the cell surface membranes of liver and muscle cells. This binding triggers a cascade of events. In muscle cells, insulin increases the permeability to glucose by recruiting GLUT4 channel proteins to the membrane. In liver cells, insulin activates enzymes that convert glucose to glycogen for storage. That's glycogenesis. The result? Blood glucose decreases back to normal. When blood glucose is too low, perhaps you haven't eaten for a while, alpha cells in the pancreas detect this fall. They secrete glucagon, which binds to receptors on liver cells only. Glucagon activates two processes. First, glycogenolysis, the breakdown of glycogen into glucose. Second, gluconeogenesis, the formation of new glucose from non-carbohydrate sources like amino acids. Both processes release glucose into the bloodstream, raising blood glucose back to normal. Here's a crucial detail that earns marks. Both insulin and glucagon work via the second messenger model. The hormone binds to a receptor, which activates an enzyme called adenylate cyclase inside the cell. This converts ATP to cyclic AMP-T, which acts as the second messenger, activating other enzymes in the cascade. Examiners love testing this mechanism, so make sure you can describe it step by step. Now, let's talk about osmoregulation, the control of water potential in the blood. This happens in the kidneys, and you need to understand both the structure of the nephron and how ADH controls water reabsorption. The nephron is the functional unit of the kidney. Blood enters via the afferent arteriole into a knot of capillaries called the glomerulus, which sits inside the Bowman's capsule. Here, ultrafiltration occurs. High hydrostatic pressure forces small molecules, water, glucose, urea, ions out of the blood and into the tubule, forming the filtrate. Larger molecules like proteins and blood cells remain in the blood. As the filtrate moves through the proximal convoluted tubule, useful substances are selectively reabsorbed. All the glucose, most of the water, and many ions move back into the blood via active transport and facilitated diffusion. The loop of Henle is where things get interesting. It creates and maintains a sodium ion gradient in the medulla, lowering the water potential there. This gradient is essential for concentrating urine. The descending limb is permeable to water but not ions, so water moves out by osmosis. The ascending limb is impermeable to water but actively transports sodium and chloride ions out, creating that crucial low water potential in the medulla. Finally, the distal convoluted tubule and collecting duct are where ADH antidiuretic hormone acts. When you're dehydrated and blood water potential falls, Osmoreceptors in the hypothalamus detect this. The posterior pituitary releases ADH into the bloodstream. ADH travels to the kidneys and binds to receptors on cells of the collecting duct. This triggers the insertion of aquaporin channel proteins into the cell surface membranes, making the duct more permeable to water. More water is reabsorbed by osmosis back into the blood, producing a small volume of concentrated urine. When you're well hydrated, less ADH is released, fewer aquaporins are inserted, less water is reabsorbed, and you produce dilute urine. Exam tips and common mistakes. 2 minutes. Right, let's talk about what examiners are really looking for and the mistakes that cost marks. First, terminology matters enormously. Never say water concentration or water levels. Always use water potential. That's the scientifically correct term, and using the wrong one can lose you marks even if your understanding is correct. Second, know your 3 G's with absolute precision. Glycogenesis is the synthesis of glycogen from glucose. Glycogenolysis is the breakdown of glycogen to glucose. Gluconeogenesis is the formation of glucose from non-carbohydrate sources. Students constantly mix these up, especially the last two, because they sound similar. Make flashcards, test yourself, get them locked in. Third, when describing hormone action, always specify that hormones bind to specific complementary receptors on target cells. Don't just say insulin lowers blood glucose, explain the mechanism. Examiners reward detail. Fourth, in kidney questions, be crystal clear about what's in the blood versus what's in the filtrate. Don't say glucose moves from the nephron to the kidney. That's vague and inaccurate. Say glucose is reabsorbed from the filtrate in the proximal convoluted tubule into the blood in the peritubular capillaries by active transport and co-transport. And here's a big one. Don't confuse denaturation with inactivation. Cold temperatures inactivate enzymes and hormones. They slow down or stop working temporarily. Denaturation happens at high temperatures when the protein structure is permanently damaged. This distinction matters in temperature regulation questions. Finally, use the phrase deviation from the norm as your trigger. When you see a homeostasis question, think, what's the normal level? What's the deviation? What detects it? What's the corrective mechanism? How does it restore the original level? That structure will guide you through any negative feedback question. Quickfire, recall, quiz 1 minute. Let's test your recall with some quickfire questions. Pause after each one and answer out loud. 1. Which cells in the pancreas secrete insulin? Answer, beta cells. 2. What is the correct term for the breakdown of glycogen to glucose? Answer, glycogenolysis. 3. Where in the nephron does ultrafiltration occur? Answer, the glomerulus and Bowman's capsule. 4. What is the role of the loop of Henle? Answer, to maintain a sodium ion gradient in the medulla, creating a low water potential. 5. How does ADH increase water reabsorption? Answer, it causes the insertion of aquaporin channel proteins into the cell surface membranes of the collecting duct, increasing permeability to water. 6. What is the second messenger in the insulin and glucagon signaling pathways? Answer, cyclic AM. How did you do? If you got them all, brilliant. If not, go back and review those sections. Summary and sign off. 1 minute. To wrap up, homeostasis is all about negative feedback, maintaining stable internal conditions. Blood glucose regulation involves insulin and glucagon working antagonistically via the second messenger model. Osmoregulation involves the kidney's nephron structure and ADH controlling water reabsorption through aquaporins. Remember your exam technique. Use precise terminology, especially water potential, not water concentration. Know your 3 G's. Always explain mechanisms, not just outcomes. Structure your answers around the negative feedback loop: norm, deviation, detection, correction, restoration. This topic appears in both short answer and extended response questions, and it links synoptically to cell membranes, enzymes, and even ecology when you think about temperature regulation in different environments. Keep practicing those exam questions, focus on the mark schemes to see exactly what earns credit, and you'll master homeostasis in no time. Good luck with your revision, and remember, your body is doing homeostasis right now as you listen to this. How amazing is that? Thanks for listening.